This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي أما بعد. Again, my dear brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We firstly begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we ask for His forgiveness. We should praise and thank Allah ta'ala for keeping us alive in this beautiful, blessed month of Ramadan. You know, with the blessings that are in this month, subhanAllah, it's unimaginable. So we praise and thank Allah ta'ala that He's kept us alive for this Ramadan. And we ask Allah ta'ala to give us the blessings, the rahmah, the maghfirah in this month of Ramadan. And also I would like to thank the organizers once again. SubhanAllah, it was, again, we're talking about time. It was like it was yesterday I was here, you know. 1 year has passed, subhanAllah, and we've been doing this on a yearly basis. It's great to see that. And that is how fast life is going. And before you know it, subhanAllah, you know, we're going to be in our graves. And then others who are alive will be thinking about that brother who was sitting here last year. You know, subhanAllah, just this morning actually, I received a phone call from Malaysia, where I studied. When I was there was a family who took care of us when we were there, while we were studying. Alhamdulillah, beautiful family, young family. There were a couple and they had six children, young family as well. And when we were there studying, the wife passed away, very young. She was in her late 30s or early 40s. She passed away while we were studying. And then just today I received a phone call that the brother passed away. SubhanAllah. So you know, you think about those moments that we were just there, you know, they were helping us out. They would even just give us their car to drive around. Like, who would do that, subhanAllah? But, you know, time passes and people pass away and you get the reality check as life goes on. So that is why this topic is so important. And Allah Ta'ala has given us this time on earth, and we only live on this earth once. And we have to make the most of it. We have to make the most of it. If we fail this test of life, then our akhirah doesn't look great. And if we pass this test of life, then our akhirah looks positive. And this is the ultimate test. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for that purpose. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Allah ta'ala says, I have not created the jinn nor the man for any other purpose except to worship me, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this life, this time that we have in this life, that is the test. And we can see from the Qur'an the importance of time, many, many, many places. You know, when Allah Ta'ala speaks to us in the Qur'an, Allah Ta'ala uses a lot of language techniques in the Qur'an. Amazing. It's like in English, if you look at different essays, different pieces of writing and how it attracts the audience, how it attracts the readers. There's language techniques that are used. There is a lot of different ways in which the writer tries to grab the attention. So very similar to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses a lot of Arabic techniques in order to grab the attention of the speakers. One of the techniques that Allah uses is Allah ta'ala takes an oath of certain creations of Allah. And you'll notice this. See, us human beings, whenever we are speaking and we want others to believe what we say, not for everything, of course, for certain important matters, we are told to swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't swear by anything else. We don't take an oath on anything else. So for example, when people say, I swear on my mom's life, that's actually not allowed. It's actually to the level of shirk, minor shirk, as many of the scholars they say. Because the Prophet ﷺ and Allah ta'ala in the Quran are very clear that when you take an oath, you take an oath with the name of Allah. But obviously not for everything, like a lot of the youngsters too these days. But when it comes to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala takes an oath for really important creations of Allah. And when he takes an oath of the important creations of Allah, then afterwards, there's an important message. You know how when we say, Wallahi, such and such happened. Wallahi, I'm telling you, this is what I saw and this is the outcome. When you say Wallahi, it makes the listeners believe you, number one. And number two, it shows the importance of what you're saying. So when Allah Ta'ala says, Wal-Asr, Wal-Asr, Innal insana lafi khusr. When he says, by the time, or I take an oath by the time, Innal insana lafi khusr, that verily human beings are at loss. So this shows Allah Ta'ala taking an oath by time. What does it show? Number one, importance of time. And number two, what he's told us after that relates to the time. Innal insana lafi khusr. That verily human beings are at loss. Why are we at loss? Because we don't take care of the time. We don't worry about the importance of time. And that's why we are in loss. And then Allah Ta'ala says, except for those, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Except for those who believe and do good deeds and encourage others towards the truth and encourage others towards patience. Right? And all of that, belief in Allah, doing good deeds, encouraging others, these require time. All of those actions require quality time. You've got other verses of the Quran as well. Wal-fajr, wal-layalin ashr. Allah Ta'ala specifically takes an oath of a specific time. Wal-layli idha yaghsha. Again, Allah Ta'ala specifically takes an oath on a specific time during the day, showing the importance of it. So we can see Allah putting importance of time already by taking an oath. If Allah is taking an oath on certain times of the day or time in general, time is important. It shows us that time is very, very important. And there's a very important hadith also, which has been reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anh, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. Take care of five matters before other five matters happen. What are they? شبابك قبل هرمك وصحتك قبل سقمك وغناك قبل فقرك وفراغك قبل شغلك وحياتك قبل موتك. Five matters we need to take care of. He said, your youth before you become old, your health before you become ill, your wealth before you become poor, your free time before you become busy, and take care of your life before you pass away. So you see how all of those things revolve around what? Time. Everything revolves around time. And that is why we can see how important time is. It's very unfortunate, and it's sad that us Muslims are the most guilty when it comes to time management. Right? If I was to have an appointment with someone, let's say a business appointment or a wedding to attend, classic example, huh? A wedding to attend. And we tell a time to someone. Like for example, I remember one brother invited us to a wedding. And without going into the background of the family and what country they're from, leave that aside. But we were invited, and I got a call from a brother, being from the Australian Aussie background, Caucasian background. And he told me, he's asking, he's like, where are you guys? Where are you guys? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, am I in the right place? I'm like, are you at the venue already? And he's like, well, yeah, I got an invitation at 6:30. He goes, I thought I was late. I came exactly at 6:30. And there's nobody here. Even the organizers are not here. You know, and it makes you think. SubhanAllah, and the wedding actually started approximately an hour and a half later. All right? So it just shows that we are the most guilty one. Any meetings we have?
It's still early.
That's right. 1.5 hours, still early. SubhanAllah. Any meetings that we have, we organize a meeting with someone, right? We tell them a certain time. Sometimes that person comes late, or sometimes you're not there. All right, so we are the most guilty. And then here, we are the ones promoting to people the importance of time management in Islam. But then you've got non-Muslims who are better at keeping time. So it all goes back to the Quran and the Hadith. When we look at the Quran and the Hadith, how important time management is. And that's why we are talking about this today. Another thing that we need to understand, when it comes to time, when Allah Ta'ala has given us time, we always think, all right, I need to worship Allah Ta'ala, of course. I've got these certain times I need to worship Allah. So I need to spend a lot of time worshiping Allah. I've got time for this, I've got time for that. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he explains to us and encourages us, when it comes to spending time, follow the middle path. Don't go two extremes in your time. In whatever you do, don't go into two extremes. How do we know this? There is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam where Aisha radiallahu anha, she reports that one day three men came to visit the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his house. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't there. So they met with Aisha radiallahu anha and they asked Aisha, we want to learn about the life of the Prophet and how he spends his day. Right? We want to learn how the Prophet spends his day. So they're talking about time and how the Prophet spends his time during the day. So Aisha radiallahu anha explained the day or the typical day of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now these three men became really motivated when they heard that. They were moved. And then they said, one of them he said, by Allah, I swear, I am going to pray the entire night. The whole night I'll be in ibadah. And I will not sleep. I'll sleep during the day, but I know the importance of the night, and I'm going to be in the worship. Because when he heard the Prophet used to pray at night, he said, that's it, I'm going to pray the entire night. The other one, he said, when he heard about the Prophet ﷺ fasting and how much he loved fasting, he said, by Allah, from today, I'm going to fast every single day and not break my fast. Obviously breaking the fast at night, but every day he'll be fasting. And the third one, he said, when he heard about the Prophet in prayer, going in the masjid, and then he thought, you know what, if I get married, it'll be a big distraction. So by Allah, I'm not going to get married to women. I'm not going to get married because marriage is a distraction. I want to be in constant worship with Allah. When the Prophet ﷺ heard about this, he summoned those three men and he was upset with them. He said, are you the three men who said such and such? They said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. And they thought they were very happy. They thought they were doing something great. The Prophet ﷺ told them that I pray at night and I also sleep at night. To the next one, I fast some days and I don't fast some days. And to the third one, I marry women. And he said, this is my sunnah, and whoever does not follow my sunnah is not from me. So he is teaching us the middle path of spending your time. Don't go into two extremes of ibadah, and don't go into two extremes of not doing any ibadah. Another example, a man, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, whenever I'm with you, my iman increases. And whenever I go back to my family, my iman decreases. Ya Rasulullah, I want to be with you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him that is what iman is. Iman goes up, iman goes down. And your family has a right over you. You need to spend time with your family. So he said, this is how life is. It's normal. And there's so many examples out there. Umar radiallahu anhu once, he walked into the masjid. And this was during the day. This is before Dhuhr, way before Dhuhr. He walked in the masjid. And he saw young men, I think the narration says there were three young men in the masjid worshipping Allah. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he waited until they finished. He said, what are you three men doing here? And they were quite happy. They said, well, we are in the masjid worshipping Allah Ta'ala. He said, you are strong young men. Go and work. Go and work. It's during the day. What are you doing here in the masjid at this time? It's not salah. Go and work, earn a living. So he is teaching. What is he teaching? Time management. Everything in your life has its time. And that is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching. Avoid the extremes of time. There is also a myth about time. A lot of people say the phrase, I don't have time. We hear this a lot. I don't have time. It's true to a certain degree. But to a majority of us, it's not true. It's because it's not the fact that you don't have time. It's the fact that we don't prioritize our time. We haven't managed our time. That's why we say we don't have time. That's the problem that we are facing today. Let's have a look at the Prophet ﷺ himself, the Sahaba's life, the pious predecessors, how they spent their life and how much they accomplished. Just some examples. How long did the Prophet ﷺ live for? How many years? 63 years, right? What's the average lifespan in Australia?
75.
For men, there's a different men and women. For men, they say about 80 to 81 years. For women, 80 to 83 years. For women, above 85. So about 85 to 87 years. So according to the average lifespan in Australia, did the Prophet live until then or less? Less. And we know the average lifespan in the whole world is between 60 to 70. Right? That's the lifespan. And the Prophet ﷺ said that in a hadith, that my ummah will live between 60 to 70. Obviously, he's talking about the average. There are some who live more, some who will live less. But look at how much the Prophet accomplished. Look at how much he did. How long did the wahi come? How many years? 23 years. 23 years was the revelation, right? And within that 23 years, only 10 years he spent in Medina. Within the 10 years he spent in Medina, the world changed. The world changed. Islam got recognition. Muslims got recognition. The battles after battles. Not only that, the spread of Islam throughout the world. People started hearing about Muslim, about the Prophet ﷺ in the other side of the world. People would come to visit the Prophet to see who this man was. And just like the surah that was just recited, who remembers the surah, by the way? What surah did we hear it? Without asking him, what surah was it? Surah? Nasr. Yes, surah al-Nasr. Right? What did he say? إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. The meaning of it. What's the meaning of it? إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. When the victory of Allah comes and his conquest. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was able to conquer Mecca. After 10 years, or within the 10 years of ruling in Medina. That's how much it changed. Before that, 10 years before that, no way anyone would have thought Mecca can be taken over by Muslims. But just look at how he built the Ummah within a period of 10 years. That's how he spent his life. Wasn't he the busiest man? How many wives did he have, by the way? How many? Eight wives? Any other guess?
Nine at the same time.
Nine at the same time, yes. He had a total of 11 wives. We can't handle one. Right? We can't handle one. And we say, you know, time, we've got to spend so much time here and there. It's true, we do have to spend time with our family. But the Prophet had 11 wives. Subhanallah, he had 7 children. Right? We can't handle one or two. He had 7 children. He raised them. Yes, majority of them died before the Prophet ﷺ did. But he raised them. He raised his grandchildren. He had a family of his own. And he was controlling the ummah. Can we now say we don't have enough time? That's the Prophet ﷺ. Look at the Sahabas. Look at Abu Bakr, what he achieved. Look at Umar, what he achieved. How long did they live for? Just over 60 years old. And they passed away. Imam An-Nawawi, famous Imam An-Nawawi, who knows what he produced? 40 hadith of Imam An-Nawawi. What else? We may read it every day, but we don't know who wrote it. Riyadu Salihin that we read was produced by Imam An-Nawawi. Do you know how long he lived for? 46 years old. That's it. He accomplished so much that today when we hear Imam An-Nawawi, we give him respect. We have his books. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, another famous man. He wrote a book, believe it or not, it's called Kitab al-Tawheed. And you learn, you go to certain universities, it takes you a semester to study this one book. You know how long it took him to write that book? Between Dhuhr to Asr. He wrote that book between Dhuhr to Asr. And universities use that book to teach Aqeedah, and it takes one semester to study it. This is time that they used for the service of Islam, for the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, the question, can we say we don't have enough time? It's the prioritizing of the time that we are lacking in. And that's something that we need to work on. So there's 4 points I want to mention, and we'll end it off with the 4 points. Number one, give time to Allah. Allah will give barakah in your time. Give time to Allah, and Allah Ta'ala will place barakah in your life, in your time. Very important. We are very busy. Let's be honest. We are quite busy. Life is busy. All right? But because our life is busy, we don't give that quality time to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. How do we pray Dhuhr today? We don't even pray Sunnah anymore. Because the clock, I need to go back to work. We don't prioritize our time. I know some workplaces you can't do much about that. But we come home and we don't even complete the sunnah as well. All right, we leave it to that. We rush our salah. You know, we've only got 2 minutes left. I've got to pray asr really quickly. Pray asr really quickly. No khushu', no devotion. That's the time we're giving Allah. So do you really think we're going to have barakah in our time generally? No, we're not. Make salah the pivot of your day. Everything else should revolve around the salah. And again, we Muslims are guilty. We set meetings, we set things that we need to accomplish during the day, but we never consider salah. We don't put salah. We make our day, then we fit salah in our day. What we should think is we make our day with salah, fit everything else around it. We have to reverse that. That's so important. When is the last time after Dhuhr prayer you actually sat down and you did tasbih? When was the last time you sat down and you made that dhikr and you made dua to Allah? There's barakah even after sitting in prayer. After prayer finishes, you sit down for a moment. Umar radiallahu anhu used to stop people when he was Khalifa. You know, people would get up and go. He would say, hold on. Isn't there anything you want to ask Allah? You know, sit. You know, do some dhikr. You know, do some dua. Very important time. These are quality times that we don't give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The shaitan traps us. And there's so many ahadith on this. Let's give an example of Fajr. First of all, we don't sleep on time. Right? We don't. Many of us, we don't sleep on time. And it's not just the youngsters. Now the elders have the phones as well, and they use it. You know, Facebook, new thing, or Instagram now. A lot of us are on Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and all that. Our elders as well. So we are on there at night. We don't sleep on time. So what happens at Fajr? The shaitan is pinning you down. Literally pinning you down. There's a hadith on this. And they tie 3 knots on you. So you don't get up. Right? And as you get up, your eyes are opening up. Shaitan tells you, sleep. You didn't get enough sleep. You know, there's still plenty of time till the end of Fajr. It's all right. Go back to sleep. We hear this every morning almost. This waswasa, we hear it every morning. Still plenty of time. Shaitan's pinning you down. And then the Prophet tells us how to defeat the shaitan in the morning. When you get up from your bed and you read the dua, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur, you've untied that one knot. Then you go make wudu, you've untied the second knot. Then you go pray your fajr, you've untied the third knot, you've defeated shaitan. Alright, shaitan's telling you, you've got plenty of time, sleep, no problem. We know we don't have time. We know that the time's about to end. So we need to make quality time for Fajr. Again today, how do we pray Fajr? We rush it. We don't go to the masjid, even though, and we were just talking about it, literally within the 5 kilometer radius, we have 5 masajids. We have 5 masajids. I live in Mount Druitt. I've got 5 masajids literally, I would say in the 4 kilometer radius. What excuse do I have? And yet a lot of us don't go to the masjid, subhanallah. All right, so quality time given to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what I'm talking about, quality time. Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrates, she said, you will never find a man better than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a husband. You will never find a man better than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a husband and as a father. Great man. But as soon as he would hear the adhan, it was as if we didn't exist. Right? He would be spending time with his family, playing with the kids or whatever it is, his grandchildren. As soon as Bilal radiallahu anhu would say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Aisha said that it is as if we didn't exist. Because now prioritizing time of salah comes, that's it. His mind is now focused on salah. That's quality time that he's giving, and that's how we should be. But today when the adhan goes, yeah, Imam's going to come in about 10 minutes. I'll go then. All right? And then by the time we get here, one rakah is gone. All right? So we don't even give the importance to that. So how can we have barakah in our time? There was a Muslim, subhanAllah, I'll give you a quick story before we move on. A new Muslim. He was asked, what motivated you to embrace Islam? And look at his answer. He said, I was a Christian. And he said, I would notice when I would go to church on Sundays, the church would be half full or even less than that. Once a week, the churches were empty. The other days, churches are empty. Once a week, when we are supposed to go to the church, with all the Christians that are living around, it's not even half full. Fine, leave that aside. He said, when I saw Muslims in Ramadan going to the mosque to pray Taraweeh, which is not compulsory, and the mosque is packed, I could see the quality time the Muslims gave to God, to Allah, and they didn't even have to. It wasn't compulsory. And when I saw the time they gave and the emotion of praying for long nights, that attracted me. And he became a Muslim because of that. He knew the truth of giving quality time to Allah Ta'ala, what that meant. That is how he embraced Islam, subhanAllah. These are the things that should motivate us. And they can see it firsthand, they experience it. We are born like this and we take it for granted. So we need to experience it to understand, inshallah. Number two, avoid wasting time in things that does not give any benefit. All right, avoid wasting time on things that does not give any benefit. I was just checking before I came here, on average, how long does a person in Australia spend time on his device? A day. You can Google it now if you want. It said that on average, in Australia, a person spends 5.67 hours a day on his phone. 5.67 hours on average a day on his phone. And I'm not talking about a person who's reading Quran on his phone. No, other things on his device. That's a long time. Who spends 5.6 hours today in ibadah a day? I don't think any of us do that. But think about 5.67 hours a day on our devices, wasting time, majority of it. Subhanallah. If we look at an ayah, a couple of ayat in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ فَاسْأَلِ الْعَادِينَ. It will be asked to the people on the day of judgment, how long did you have on earth? How long did you spend on earth? And the answer will be, they will say, I spent about a day or a part of the day. And because his time management was so bad, he will say, speak to the angels who wrote my record. Speak to them. I only spent a day or a part of a day. That's it. Ask them. It wasn't my fault. I wasted time, but it wasn't my fault. I didn't get enough time. That's the excuse they're going to be using, subhanAllah. You know, but Allah Ta'ala will tell us on the day that you had enough time. You had enough time to change yourself and to become a better person. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anh, he said, nothing causes me more regret than to see the sun set and I didn't do something to build on my akhirah. Ibn Mas'ud, he said, that the one thing that I regret the most is when I see the sun set and I didn't do enough for my akhirah on that day. How many of us actually think like that? We hardly think like that. But these are the giants of the Muslims. This is how they thought, because they understood time management. Number three, follow the example of time management from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I know that's a broad topic and it's a whole lecture on that. But just a few points on that. Number one, something we don't do, sleep on time. When did the Prophet used to sleep? And we're not talking about Ramadan. After Isha. When is Isha now?
7:30.
About 7:30. So let's say after Ramadan, you know, approximately 7:30 or even 7 o'clock at that time. How many of us would seriously go to bed at 8 o'clock? None of us do. None of us do. Right? Sleeping early. Why? Because our body needs the rest. Remember that. Our body needs the rest. And then getting up for tahajjud. How many of us regularly get up for tahajjud? If we do, great, mashallah, that's excellent. But to get up for tahajjud regularly, you need to sleep early. That's how it's going to work. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that Allah Ta'ala has placed barakah in the mornings. But when's the best time for us to sleep? After Fajr. That's the best time for us to sleep after Fajr. When the Prophet himself said, and again, we're not talking about Ramadan. Ramadan's very different. In other days, after Fajr is where the barakah is. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Burika li ummati fi bukuriha." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed barakah, bukuriha, meaning in the early part of the morning, straight after Fajr. You can ask any huffaz, when is the best time to memorize? They will tell you, after Fajr. You know why? Because that's where the barakah in time is. If you ask them, how long does it take you to memorize a page, generally speaking? They will tell you that after Fajr, it might take me 10-15 minutes. But if they were to memorize on another time, it might take them more than half an hour or longer. There's barakah in the mornings. Your mind is fresh. So sleep early. Wake up early, pray your tahajjud if possible. If can't, okay, wake up for Fajr, but do not sleep after Fajr, because you lose out on that barakah. Very, very important. The Prophet ﷺ used to meet delegates after Fajr. The Prophet ﷺ used to have, you know, discussions with the companions after Fajr. We all know the hadith. After Fajr, he would turn around, face the companions, and they would have discussions. Did you have a dream today? What was your dream? Let me interpret it. The Prophet would do that. The Prophet would ask questions to the Sahabas. The Prophet would teach the companions their religion after Fajr. That is where the barakah is. And the amount that you learn after Fajr, the more you're going to remember. It doesn't work during the night or during the late hours of the day. So that is very, very important. When you have free time, do something beneficial. The Prophet ﷺ would never waste his time. And how do we know this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us this in the Quran. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. And when you have free time, فَانْصَبْ. What does it mean? Get up and do something beneficial. In other words, you can pray salah. Don't waste the time. Don't just sit there and do nothing. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. And when you have free time, literally he's saying فَرَغْتَ. When you have free time, fansab, get up and do something beneficial. So don't waste time on that. Follow the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, ni'matan maqbulun feehima kathirun minan nas, as-sihhatu wal faragh. There are two blessings that Allah Ta'ala has given us that we take advantage of. We don't take heed. We don't realize it until it's gone. What is it? As-sihha, your health, and faragh, when you have free time. All right? We take advantage of this, meaning we don't really understand the quality when Allah Ta'ala gives us this. Because when we become sick, what do we remember? Our good times when we're healthy. When we become busy, what do we remember? The good times when we had free time. Subhanallah. So Allah Ta'ala, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, take advantage of them. And the last point, smart planning. Smart planning. SMART being an acronym. S-M-A-R-T. A lot of businessmen know this. Businesses who run this. Schools, we teach this. Very, very important. The S stands for be specific in what you want to accomplish. Right? Be specific. And I'll get to the examples. M, meaning measurable. Whatever you want to accomplish, you need to measure. You need to measure or quantify ways to track your progress. A means attainable. What you want to get, are you able to attain it from the planning that you have done? R meaning relevant. Is it going to make a positive impact that whatever you want to do? Is it relevant for you? And T, time bound. Give a time limit and try to stick to that time limit. So this is what we get taught. Smart planning. So let's have a look Islamically. Be specific in your deen. Let's look at Quran. All right, let's look at Quran. We all know our level of Quran reading and understanding. We all know our level. So now I'm going to be specific. Quran, I want to read every day. Specific deen. M meaning measurable. Now how many juz is the Quran? 30 juz. How many surahs are there? 114. Okay. So based on that information, measure how long it might take you, measure the time that you might need during the day. So span that out. Attainable. So you might think, okay, there's 30 juz. I want to read, let's say in 1 month, I want to read the entire Quran. Just giving that example for now. Even though that's quite difficult, but let's say I want to read the entire Quran in 1 month. So is it attainable? You know that answer to it. If I'm fluent in Quran, the answer is yes. If I'm not fluent in Quran, the answer is no. I might have to change that. Make it 2 months. Make it 3 months. But the point is, I'm still going to read. R, is it relevant? Is Quran relevant in our life? Absolutely yes. But also what's relevant is understanding the Quran. So put that in there as well. And then T is time bound. Okay. My day looks like this. In the morning, I do this. In the evening, I do this. I got to go to work. I got to drop the kids to school. I got to do this. I got to do the groceries. All of those things. Put that time during the day, schedule it in, that this is the moment I'm going to spend time reading the Quran. So if I get after Fajr, let's say half an hour, then I got to measure how many pages can I read in half an hour, or the amount of pages that I'm going to read, can I read, understand the meaning as well? Do that. Measure that out. Once you've got that scheduled, stick to it. Very important. And do not give yourself such a short amount of time doing a lot because you're not going to stick to it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ahabbu al-a'mali ila Allah azza wa jal adwamuha wa in qalla." The best deed in the sight of Allah, or the most loved deed in the sight of Allah, are those that are consistent even if they are small. So these points are so important. Every day, your salah, pivot of your life. Quran every day. Your dhikr every day. Your istighfar every day. Even put charity in. Specific deeds. Put charity in there. Every day or every week. What am I going to give? How much do I have? Can I measure it? Is it attainable? Is it realistic? Do I have that amount that I want to give? And time bound, regular charity. All of those deeds that you can think of, put them on a table, schedule it in, and stick to it, inshallah. Make it realistic though. The R is important. Make it realistic. Because if you don't make it realistic, Allah does not like that deed. You do it for 1 day, 2 days, and let it go. Then once you stick to it, the experts, they say, it takes 28 days. It takes 28 days to become used to something, roughly, on average, it takes about 28 days to get used to something. So give it a month, and then you want to increase it slightly, and see how you go from there, inshallah. So there's a lot we can learn from time management. There's so much we can talk about, but we're going to end it there, inshallah. I had about 40 minutes. We will end it there, inshallah. And I hope that we benefited. I hope that we understand the importance of time management. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, for us to change our perspective of time, for us to understand the importance of time. And we ask Allah ta'ala to give us enough time so that we can do well and all of us to attain Jannat al-Firdaus. Wa jazakumullah khair. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanallah, bihamdihi, shallallahu alayhi wa sallam.